Crowned by Music. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1882. The Earl Granville, the British Secretary of State for Foreign Affairs, arrived at Windsor Castle not looking forward with any enthusiasm to his appointment with Her Majesty Queen Victoria. As he was very popular with the equerries and other members of the Windsor Castle staff, he was greeted with obvious pleasure on his arrival. He was politely offered something to drink after his journey from London. The Earl refused and said that he could not stay too long, as he had so much work to do at his office, but could he please see Her Majesty as quickly as possible. An equerry hurried away, and some 20 minutes later he returned to say, "Her Majesty is in a good temper, and so will be pleased to see you, my lord." "Well, I'm very glad to hear it," the Earl remarked, "because I'm not sure, when she does see me, if she will be as pleased as she obviously is now." Other members of the staff, who were listening to their conversation, laughed. "She is always good-tempered, my lord, with you," one of them said. "It is when the Prime Minister comes that she is in a temper before he can even walk up the stairs." It was indeed well known to the Earl that the Queen disliked Mr. William Gladstone. She had clashed violently with him in earlier years, and at one time she had threatened to abdicate if he did not do what she wanted. When Mr. Gladstone came back for a second term as Prime Minister, it had only been natural that those in attendance on Her Majesty were determined to keep him away from her as much as possible. Unfortunately, as matters were becoming so tense in Europe, and the Russians were behaving in what the Queen thought was a despicable manner, both the Prime Minister and his Secretary of State for Foreign Affairs, the Earl Granville, were practically daily visitors at Windsor Castle. In fact, when the Earl had said that he was visiting the Queen today, the equerry on duty had groaned almost noisily. "I only hope, my lord, that you don't bring Her Majesty bad news," he said, as he escorted the Earl up the stairs. "But I am afraid that Her Majesty will not be too pleased at what I have to tell her," the Earl replied to him, "so you can prepare yourself for a fairly gloomy evening." "Oh, we have those far too often," the equerry retorted. "If it is to do with the Russians again, I think that we will bolt up the gates and refuse your lordship and any of your staff admittance." The Earl laughed, as he was meant to do. At that moment, they reached the passage that led to the Queen's private apartments. "I will do my best not to make you as apprehensive as you are at the moment," the Earl said, as they walked towards another equerry standing expectantly at the far end of the corridor. The Earl reached him. He bowed and greeted the Earl. "Good afternoon, my lord. It is very good to see you again." "Well, now that is the sort of greeting I like to have when I arrive," the Earl replied. "But they are full of gloom and doom downstairs, and I expect I will be about to upset Her Majesty, and that will be the end of her good mood. Well, I think I know why you have come," the equerry replied. "And all I can say, my lord, is that you will be very lucky if you receive an elegant answer to the question that you are going to put in front of Her Majesty. Well, I am crossing my fingers, and hoping for the best but expecting the worst," the Earl answered lightly. The two equerries laughed as if they could not help themselves. One of them opened the door and then ushered the Earl inside. He returned almost immediately to say, "Her Majesty is waiting to see you, my lord." He opened the door and the Earl went in. The Queen, dressed in black mourning, which she had worn ever since her beloved Prince Albert had died all of 20 years ago, was sitting near the window. Sunshine was streaming in through the windows of the room, and it seemed to envelop her. The Earl, after bowing to her deeply, walked slowly towards her. She appeared to be relaxed in a way that made her much less awe-inspiring than she usually was to those who visited her on affairs of state. "Good morning, my lord," she greeted the Earl. "I would be most pleased to see if I could not guess why you have made this particular visit. As you know, we are always sorry to do anything to upset."